Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Newscast, your favorite host with the most, Tom the Turkey Tom, and I'm here with the news. There's actually a lot of big things this episode, a lot of cool video game news, couple things here and there, big piece at the end of the non-anime news, big piece at the end of the anime news, so let's just dive right into it, shall we? It is August 14th, 2020. We are, holy shit, we are two-thirds through the year already, or almost two-thirds. Come September, it'll be two-thirds through the year, but yeah, holy shit. Man, 2020 can be over now, though. Like, if we just go into 2021 tomorrow, I'll be okay with that. I'd be alright with that. Anyway, how y'all doing? Let me know. Let me know in the Discord how y'all doing. Let's get into it, shall we? We'll take a little break in the in-between, and then we'll get into the anime news, and we'll go. Here we go. Dude, I thought this was interesting. I just saw this today, and I don't know. Apparently, this has been a thing for, I don't know, like a couple days already? But there's this hashtag going around called Free Fortnite. Hashtag Free Fortnite. Fortnite was apparently pulled from the iOS App Store. Excuse me. As Epic Games and Apple feud, Apple has pulled Fortnite from the App Store after reports surfaced this morning of an option Epic was including in the game to bypass the App Store pricing, allowing users to make purchases from Epic directly. Apple responded by pulling Fortnite from the App Store completely. Epic Games responded by airing a 1984-style video inside Fortnite. Watch the video inside this tweet. You can go to the Fortnite official Twitter to find it. It's basically like a spoof of the 1984 Apple's Macintosh commercial, which is pretty funny. And then I guess later, Fortnite for Android was pulled from the Google Play Store. Following today's earlier chaotic news of the two titans blasting back and forth at each other with Epic Games' Fortnite on the Apple App Store, the popular game has also been removed from the Android Google Play Store. In a statement to The Verge, Google addresses the removal of Fortnite from the Google Play Store, saying, "The open Android ecosystem lets developers distribute apps through multiple app stores. For game developers who choose to use the Play Store, we have consistent policies that are fair to devs and keep the store safe for users. While Fortnite remains available on Android, we can no longer make it available on Play because it violates our policies. However, we welcome the opportunity to continue our discussions with Epic and bring Fortnite back to Google Play." So yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is. So like, apparently, like, when you buy stuff, there was, like, a little option where it said, like, how do you want to pay? Google Play Store, $10. Epic Direct Payment, $8. Why, you know, why wouldn't you just choose, you know, the Epic Direct Payment every time? Of course people are going to do that, you know? That being said, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. There's a lot of people who play these games on mobile. There's people who play PUBG on mobile. There's people who play Fortnite on mobile and things like that. I'm just not one of those people. If there's a game that is available for the PC or, you know, PS4 or whatever, or Switch, I'm going to play it on there. I'm not going to play it on my phone. You know what I mean? That's just weird to me. You know, like, I play mobile games on mobile devices. That's what I do. But if there is a version of that on the PC, PS4, or the Switch, or whatever, I'm going to play it on there. You know, DS, whatever the fuck. I'm going to play it on there. I'm not going to play it on my fucking phone. So, I don't know. Honestly, the whole seems kind of weird. I don't know. I'm also not a Fortnite player. I'm one of the Fortnite haters, as they would call it. So, but yeah. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. G.I. Joe Operation Blackout coming October 13th. The only reason I bring this up is because G.I. Joe is a big part of my childhood, obviously. I think it was a part of a lot of people's. You know, it was before my time, but, you know, it was still playing on television when I was a kid, along with Transformers. And, you know, we had toys and stuff, too. We had, like, the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter G.I. Joe little toys, too. Anyway, this game looks really cool. It looks like a third-person kind of shooter game. And it's coming out for all systems, Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC, in October. Looks pretty cool. And you know what? We've been getting a lot of Transformer games that are really awesome. War for Cybertron being one of them. And this kind of looks like that. It's about time, you know, Hasbro gave G.I. Joe the awesome video game remix treatment. And I think it looks really cool. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout has over 8 million players on the PlayStation. I showed this to Trisha last night. And I think it was also 2 million on Steam, by the way. But yeah, so last night me and Trisha were downstairs in the kitchen. My PS4 is in the living room downstairs next to the kitchen. And I was making food and I was waiting, you know, I had to let whatever I was cooking, I was letting it simmer for a while, you know, so it could get delicious and cooked or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to go play, you know, a couple rounds of Fall Guys and that should be enough time. The food will be done. And I was like, do you want to play? Like, I'll show it to you. Cause I was telling her a couple days ago I was playing with Danny and Ed, and I was telling her about playing with Danny and Ed or whatever. I was like, Trisha, like, you have to look at this game. Like, it's so, like, you'd love it. And I wouldn't say she's not a gamer, but I would say that it's not like her first hobby. You know what I mean? So like, she plays video games, but she's particular at what she plays. She plays a lot of puzzle games. She plays a lot of classic games. She likes to play games that make her brain kind of think, you know, and she likes party games. Like she likes Mario Party. She likes the Buzz games. And she likes virtual trivia games, things like that. So I'm like, no, like, you got to look at this. Like, you would love this. If you love party games, you'll love this. Like, just watch me play a couple rounds. So I showed it to her. And Trisha also loves things like, you know, she used to love Takeshi's Castle or MXC and, you know, Wipeout and things like that. And I told her this is exactly what this is. It's you're these little bean people and it's like Wipeout. And so then I play a couple rounds, I lose, you know, and I'm like, okay, here's the controller, you try. And she's like, no, I'm really bad. Like, she's one of those people who, like, right away is just like, no, I know I'll be bad at it. And I was like, no, just try it. And then she takes the controller and she tries it. And she actually, like, because I died in the first rounds in the two games I played, and she also died in the first round of the one she played, but she got way farther than I did. And I was like, dude, like, I told you, like, she was like, I don't know, the controls are a little hard. I don't know, it's really fun, though. And then she went to go, like, check on the food, and then she came back, and she's like, I'm going to play another one. it was so funny, dude. Fall Guys is really cool, really fun game. A lot of people are playing it now, and it's super fun. I highly recommend it. I think it's, like, $20 on PlayStation 4, but what I ended up doing is I paid, like, $22 or $23 for... or 24, was it, maybe? I don't remember. 20-some dollars for PlayStation Plus for 3 months, and then you get it for free when you have PlayStation Plus. So it was like, you know, I could buy the game for $20, or I could just get this and get 3 months of free games, you know, plus this. So that's what I ended up doing. And then I believe it's also on Steam, which I'll probably get it on Steam as well. But anyway, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, really fun. New image of Mario from Nintendo's Twitter, or Nintendo of Europe's Twitter. They uploaded this image of Mario on the beach with what looks like a mimosa, and he's wearing swim trunks with some power stars or superstars on it, and he's just wearing sunglasses and his swim trunks, and he's like on the beach, and there's like a little crab on the front, and then a palm tree, and it said, "Stay cool, Mario," and sometimes a tweet is just a tweet, but this looks like a full-on, like, digitally made 3D image of Mario. Like, this isn't just some random piece of art. So, of course, people went crazy with theories like, new Mario game, new Mario game, new Mario game, and are going crazy. People are thinking, like, new Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Sunshine sequel, which we've been asking for fucking ever, you know. But obviously, they just dropped, you know, the new Paper Mario game and, you know, Mario Odyssey a couple years ago, like 4 years ago or something, 3 years ago now. And it's just crazy, you know, so it's just like, I don't know. Who knows? That would be really cool, though. Xbox Series X launches in November. Nobody cares. Moving on. Xbox sucks. fuck y'all. The coolest Pokemon. So the new Pokemon Sword and Shield set is out, and I just don't, you know, I don't really talk about the Pokemon card game too much because I don't play it often, but I've seen a couple people just on my Facebook timeline, like, just make comments about getting back into the card game, and they were like, what is this new, what does V mean, you know, whatever. Anyway, since around, like, the Gen 3 set, they have been, like, actually since the beginning, like, the first generation cards, like, the Team Rocket cards, there was, like, Team Rocket's Raticate, Giovanni's Raticate. Then there was the Gym Leader set where it was, like, Misty's, Vulpix, you know, whatever, things like that. Then later you started getting, like, you know, Charizard EX, Heracross EX. And then Gen 4, we got cards that were, like, we had level X cards. So, like, if you had, you know, a Charmander to Charmeleon to Charizard, you could put a Charizard level X on top of that Charizard, and it would have all the moves of the original Charizard plus its new level X moves. Then there was Primes, like Clefairy Prime, Umbreon Prime, for the Heart Gold Soul Silver stuff, and it just kept going on and on and on. You know, there's full art cards, then we got Breaker cards, a couple years ago, Breaker, where there's these sideways cards. We had Legend cards, which is really cool. We had SP cards where basically they were evolved. They were Pokemon owned by people. So it was like, you know, Cynthia's Garchomp or, you know, Team Galactic's Crobat, you know, whatever. And in this new set for Sword and Shield, the big thing is V Pokemon or Pokemon V, which are already evolved Pokemon, but they count as basic. So there's a Charizard V, but it's a basic Pokemon. You just play it. You just put it down. And then there's a Gigantamax version of that card called Charizard V-Max that you put on top of that. So there's a Scizor V, and then you put a Scizor V-Max on top, which is Dynamax form or Gigantamax form, whatever. And, yeah, I mean, there's new rules with every generation or new types of cards with every generation. That's just, like, the key thing, is every time there's a new generation of cards, there's going to be a new set of rules that come out with it, which is, like, you know, it's whatever. But don't fret, because obviously there's the, what is it called? Not Unlimited. Standard? Is it called Standard? I don't remember. The format where it's black, white, and on. So it's every card from black, white, and on that is legal in tournaments or whatever. But anyway, that's real fun. I thought that was really cool. MVSX Home Arcade to launch with 50 pre-installed games in October. If you don't know what an MVSX is, it is the arcade unit system by Neo Geo, where it came with 4 Neo Geo carts and the inside of it, and it was an arcade system, and you would, you know, you would sit down at it, and you could pick which game you wanted to play before putting your coins in, and then you put your coins in. A website opened on Wednesday to announce Unico's MVSX Home Arcade, a system based on SNK's Neo Geo MVS multi-video system arcade cabinet. The website reveals that the MVSX Home Arcade will include 50 pre-installed Neo Geo games and will launch in October. The system will retail for $449 or $450, and an optional cabinet base will retail for $99. There will also be a bundle including both the system and the base for $500. The 50 games include all of the King of Fighters from 94 to 2003, all of the Metal Slug from Metal Slug 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5X and X, Samurai Showdown 1 to Samurai Showdown 5 Special, Fatal Fury 1 to 3, Fatal Fury Special, Real Bout Fatal Fury, Real Bout Fatal Fury Special, Real Bout Fatal Fury 2, Garo, World Heroes, World Heroes 2, World Heroes 2 Jet, World Heroes Perfect, Art of Fighting 3, so not Art of Fighting 2, which is weird, Sengoku 1 through 3, Savage Rain, Magician Lord, Last Blade 1 and 2, Kazuna Encounter. By the way, if you've never played Kazuna Encounter, you really should. Great game. Shock Troopers, Super Sidekicks, Top Players Golf, Count Bout, Baseball Stars Professional, and Football Frenzy. Oh, man. So not even, like, not even Waku Waku 7, man? Waku Waku 7 is a great fighting game, man. Come on. You could have taken out Art of Fighting 1 You could have taken out World Heroes 2, you know? Because if you already have World Heroes 2 Jet, why do you need World Heroes 2 on it? Dumb. At least it has the Last Blade and Garo. Last Blade is great. Hell yeah, dude. I kind of want that. So if anyone wants to buy that for me, that would be great. Zoid's Wild Infinity Blast, Switch Games' first promo video stream. Zoid's game based on the latest series of Zoids, which I heard was okay. It's not very good, but the game looks really fun, and I kind of want to rewatch the original two seasons of Zoids for sure. Kickstarter for the game Sea of Stars is going on for another week. It's already met its goal of $133,000 Canada. It is now at $1,628,126 Canada. That is a lot. They have stretch goals, of course. So, like, I mean, they've met all these stretch goals already, so never mind. Yeah, holy shit. But this is from Sabotage Studio, which is the company that made the game The Messenger. If you've ever heard of The Messenger, it's like a side-scroll ninja game, kind of like Ninja Gaiden. And really cool game, which I think I have on my Steam, but I haven't played yet. This game, Sea of Stars, is a turn-based RPG kind of inspired by a Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, some of the original Final Fantasy games, Golden Sun. It looks really friggin' cool, and they're coming out with, like, a physical edition done by Limited Run Games. If you've never heard of Limited Run Games, they're a great company. Hell yeah, dude. Sabotage Studios is doing really cool. But yeah, if you want to support Sea of Stars, you still can for about another week. All the goals are still available. I don't think... Oh, okay, the one that's $45 or more, $25 or more. Oh, a lot of them still aren't available. Okay. Relief package. Oh, man, a lot of them are gone. So it looks like only the... It looks like only the $1, $35, and $60, and $140 are available. Estimated delivery by April 2020, March 2022. Yeah, so there's a couple of these where the reward... The game is coming out in 2022. So, but anyway, the $35 one will get you a backer exclusive HD wallpapers for your phone or computer, a digital copy of Sea of Stars for PC or console, digital art book, the exclusive permanent backer title on our Discord, your name in the backer section of the credits. The $60 or more will get you all of that, access to a private demo, a digital copy, access to the Discord, a digital art book, DRM-free version of the soundtrack, commemorative grave with your name added to the in-game crypt. I would do the $140 because it comes with all that and the physical copy. I'm all about physical copies. That's all I'm saying. But apparently it's a prequel set in earlier centuries before the game, The Messenger, which is really cool. So they're connecting all their games together, which I think is really sweet. Okay. Here is the big piece at the end of the non-anime news here. Okay. So we remember that it was announced that Netflix was doing a live-action series for Avatar The Last Airbender. Apparently, the two creators have left the project. And Michael DiMartino and Brian... I'm sorry if I pronounce his name wrong. Konietzko. Are no longer working on the live-action series adaptation set for Netflix. The creators announced their departure on Wednesday, sparking concern among fans. DiMartino's lengthy blog post only confirmed these concerns, as the writer and executive producer noted that whatever version ends up on screen, it will not be what Brian and I had envisioned or intended to make. Both DiMartino and Konietzko cited creative differences with Netflix over the direction of the project. The news may have come as a shock to Avatar fans, considering that when Netflix announced the project in 2018, both DiMartino and Konietzko's involvement was heavily promoted. So I'll read you both of their statements. I'll try to too long didn't read it, because I think Brian's is not that long, but Michael DiMartino's is pretty long. But you can just Google, like, Avatar creators quit, and you can find an article that will link to their statements. But Michael DiMartino said, Michael Dante DiMartino said, many of you have been asking me for updates about the Avatar live-action Netflix series. I can finally tell you that I am no longer involved with the project. In June of this year, after 2 years of development work, Brian Konietzko and I made the difficult decision to leave the production. When Brian and I signed to the project in 2018, we were hired as executive producers and showrunners. In a joint announcement for the series, Netflix said that it was committed to honoring our vision for this retelling and to supporting us on creating the series. And we expressed how excited we were for the opportunity to be at the helm. Unfortunately, things did not go as we had hoped. Look, things happen. Productions are challenging. Unforeseen events arise. Plans have to change. And when those things have happened at other points during my career, I try to be like an air nomad and adapt. I do my best to go with the flow, no matter what obstacle is put in my way. But even an air nomad knows when it's time to cut their losses and move on. I started to reevaluate what is truly important in my life. I took some advice from Uncle Iroh. I looked inward and started asking myself the question, who are you and what do you want? And then he goes on to say, like, you know, I tried to do this. It was beyond my control. Netflix's live-action adaptation of Avatar has the potential to be good. It might turn out to be a show many of you end up enjoying, but what I can be certain about is that whatever version ends up on screen, it will not be what Brian and I had envisioned or intended to make. I also want to be clear that this doesn't mean the end of my involvement in the Avatar universe. These stories and characters are important to me, and the renewed interest and excitement in Avatar and Korra has been inspiring to see. For those of you who don't know also, you know, Korra is also getting a sequel series, which is awesome. I think I talked about that a couple of newscasts ago, and if I didn't, I'm really sorry. But yeah, Korra is getting another season, which is sick, because Legend of Korra is badass. And then Brian Konietzko said, and I'll read his whole thing, because I think it's kind of short. It's kind of long. Never mind, it's kind of long. But I'll just kind of skim through it. Before I get to the crux of the statement, I would like to make it clear that I am very aware and appreciative of the fact that I am an exceedingly fortunate person in an exceedingly fortunate position, and that the following issues are indeed good problems to have, even more so now that we are in the grips of a global pandemic and a cratering economy which have left millions unemployed. With that crucial context, here's the big news from my little world. Michael DiMartino and I recently chose to leave Netflix's live-action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender, the series he and I created together in 2002. We will have no involvement in the project moving forward. This is probably the most difficult decision I have ever made, but there is no doubt in my mind it was absolutely the right choice. When Netflix brought me on board to run this series alongside Mike 2 years ago, they made a very public promise to support our vision. Unfortunately, there was no follow-through on that promise. Though I got to work with some great individuals both on Netflix's side and our own small development team, the general handling of this project created what I felt was a negative and unsupportive environment. To be clear, this was not a simple matter of us not getting our way. Mike and I are collaborative people. We did not need all of the ideas to come from us. As long as we felt those ideas were in line with the spirit and integrity of Avatar, we would have happily embraced them. However, we ultimately came to the belief that we would not be able to meaningfully guide the direction of the series. Though I am profoundly disappointed by how things turned out, there was wonderfully talented people who are still working on the series, some of whom Mike and I personally hired and got to know well during our time on the project. We worked very hard together towards a shared dream of how special this adaptation could be. I want to see them employed, and I hope they get the chance to do their best to work on the series. Perhaps the team that remains might still be able to make something fans of the original and an entirely new audience can enjoy. Yeah, and then he goes on to say that he's grateful for this. He was thinking to some people. You know, he's going to put his time, energy toward and talents towards other projects. It's just, that's really crazy to me. I'm really not sure how to feel about that, but me as an artist, the way I am taking this now and how I initially took it are the same. And the way that is the way I'm taking it is Netflix wanted something dumb, and Michael and Brian were like, no. And so they had to walk away. I feel like from an artist standpoint and from a filmmaker, and I'm not a filmmaker or a television creator or writer or anything like that. You know, I can barely write a short story, for God's sakes. But I kind of, just from the things I've heard and things I've often read about, when creators walk away from a project of their own shit, it's because the production company or the big execs and the big wigs upstairs want some dumb shit, and the creators are like, no. And that is just, and maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was Michael and Brian who did something stupid, and Netflix was like, no, F you guys, you can't do that. You know, maybe it was them. I don't know. We don't know the whole story. But, and apparently Netflix put out a statement too. Let me see if I can find it. But I think they just said the generic, like, they will no longer be doing it, but we still have homies that are doing stuff, and it's going to be fine. Or something. I don't know. Okay, I found it. Netflix has responded to the blog from Michael about leaving. We have the complete respect and admiration for Michael and Brian and the story that they created in the Avatar animated series. Although they have chosen to depart the live-action project, we are confident in the creative team and their adaptation. Yeah, I don't know, man. That sucks. I hope that it wasn't anything... Like, I hope that it wasn't anything that the creators did. I want to believe that it was something some Netflix big wigs wanted, and there was something stupid, and that's why the creators decided to leave. I want to believe that because of my biasness as a creator. Like, you know, I have a creator bias, so I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, anyway, that's the big piece of non-animated. So let's take a small break real quick, and then we'll get into the animated. Boom, check that out for me, okay? Links.animesummit.net. You can find all the videos right there and links to our Patreon and all that stuff. Really appreciate it. If you're a patron right now, I really appreciate it. Right now, I'm working on buying an external hard drive and then a solid-state drive for my computer with some of the patron money, and I think we're going to buy Nick some new stuff to upgrade because Nick uses his laptop, and he's got, like, a PC sitting in his room. We just got to buff it up and get it going again. So I think we're going to buy some stuff for his computer too. So I'm just saying that to be transparent because I want you guys to know that it's going towards stuff to make what we do better for you guys. And right now also I am working with Danny on some merch. And I know I've been saying that for the past year, but we actually found some companies to make like some patron packages and some other cool goodies and stuff that we're going to give you guys. So if you want to become a patron, please do. So hell yeah, I really appreciate the support. It helps us, you know, inch and inch towards making this podcast bigger so that we can do it full time and work on it full time. So I really appreciate it. Let's get into the anime news, shall we? Fruits Basket, The Three Musketeers, Arc 2 manga publishes third chapter, which is a spinoff, I believe. It's a fourth wall breaking manga that centers on the Mabudachi trio, Hattori, Shigure, and Ayame, known as the Three Musketeers in English, from the original manga. The original three chapter spinoff series debuted in the magazine's combined in the 10th and 11th issue in April 2019. Apparently it's about, Hattori, Shigure, and Ayame, known as the Three Musketeers. I think it's like a prequel, to Fruits Basket, but yeah, really, really cool. So this is a thing in Tokyo only, and normally I don't talk about this stuff, but this is based over, you can do this over video chat, and Tokyo Haunted House offers the horror experience over video chat. So the Tokyo-based haunted house Owaken is offering horror experiences through online video chat services such as Skype, Zoom, and Vimeo. Starting from August, the online horror experiences take the form of interactive stories where participants can communicate with the actors as the tale progresses. The headline act as the Monago Will Something Happen, a mysterious ghost painting introduced by the Occult Otaku program. So yeah, that's really cool. So if you want to do that, that's called Obaken, Obaken. Really cool. Stravaganza's Akihito Tomy to launch Sinner in the Seabed manga. The 77th issue of Kadokawa's Haruna magazine revealed on Wednesday that the Akihito Tomy will launch a new manga titled Abyss Azure no Zainin, Sinner in the Seabed, or literally the Sinner of the Azure Abyss, in the magazine's next issue in October. The magazine teases the manga as centering on a society of merfolk 4,000 meters under the sea. Yeah, has anyone ever read Stravaganza, The Queen and the Iron Mask? Because I heard that shit was cool as fuck. But this one, Abyss Azure no Zainin, seems really cool. So, North American anime manga releases August 2 to 15th. We have Armored Trooper Votoms Blu-ray disc on August 11th. Astro Lost in Space from Funimation on Blu-ray. Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card on Funimation Blu-ray. Fairy Tail on Funimation Blu-ray. Gundam Build Fighters, Mobile Suit Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans. That Naruto 4 movie collection that looks really fucking creepy was on the cover. Promare Collector's Edition Blu-ray from Shout Factory. I'm going to cop that. Ride Your Wave from Shout Factory. Tri-Knights, Undefeated Bahamut Chronicle. And then we got Cells at Work Black, Beyond the Clouds, Animetta, Daily Lives of High School Boys, Demon Slayer Volume 15. Bunch of manga, dude. Given, Grand Blue Fantasy, Hayate the Combat Butler, JoJo's Jujutsu Kaisen. Real excited for this, man. Real excited for more manga. I'm buying more physical manga right now, and I'm so excited. Dropout Idol Fruit Tart Anime's video reveals theme songs October 12th premiere. This is an idol show, but the girls are really cute, and I really like the design of the one character named Nua Nakamachi. Or no, not Nua. Chiko Sekino. She's really cute. Yeah. Dropout Idol Fruit Tart. Really cute design. I hate idol anime, but that looks really cute. Crunchyroll reveals Noblesse anime trailer. This looks kind of cool, actually. I'm kind of excited for this. I haven't seen a dark anime in a while, and this looks like one I could watch for sure. Rizel awakens from his 820-year slumber. He holds the special title of a Noblesse, a pure-blooded noble and protector of all other nobles. In an attempt to protect Rizel, his servant Frankenstein enrolls him at Yeran High School, where Rizel learns the simple and quotidian routines of the human world through his classmates. However, the Union, a secret society planning to take over the world, dispatches modified humans and gradually encroaches on Rizel's life, causing him to wield his mighty power to protect those around him. After 820 years of intrigue, the secrets behind his slumber are finally revealed, and Rizel's absolute protection as the Noblesse begins. Yeah, man, this could be really cool. I don't know. I like it. It does look really cool. MAPPA's Zombieland Saga team makes original gymnastics TV anime Taiso Samurai in October. The series will premiere on October 10th. The story is set in the year 2002 in the once powerful Japanese men's gymnastic team. Shotaro Aragaki, the former Japanese team member who devoted his life to gymnastics, is no longer able to compete due to his expectations. Despite still training strenuously every day, he is advised to retire by his coach Amakusa. However, a certain encounter alters Aragaki's fate. So yeah, man, gymnastics, this could be really cool. What's the studio? Oh, MAPPA, duh, I just fucking said that. MAPPA Zombieland Saga Team is doing it, so that's really cool. Princess Connect Redive Anime gets second season. So there you go, Nick. Fucking bitch. Desert Punk manga ends in October. I really feel like this manga was going on for a long time, man. Let's see. Usune launched the manga in Monthly Comic Beam in 1997, dude. I remember Tokyopop, like, seeing these published by Tokyopop in, like, Barnes & Noble and shit. So that's crazy. It's been that long. 21 volumes. Woo. KyoAni Animation rewards remain suspended for now. The studio KyoAni announced on Thursday that it is suspending the KyoAni Animation Awards for now. The studio had already canceled the 11th Kyoto Animation Awards last November after the fire that killed 36 at its Studio One building earlier that July. Since then, it has been holding internal discussions about whether to bring awards back. The staff made the decision to keep the awards suspended after considering all factors. I'm sure that's also due to the pandemic and stuff, and maybe just to recover more, you know, money from the damages sustained last year, which is just still tragic to this day. Every time I think about it, man. But you know what? I don't blame them. I want them, and if this were any other anime studio, you know, I want everybody to take their time. You know, like I don't. You don't need to rush for our sakes, you know. You know what I mean? Like, I've said that over and over again. I've said, and Nick has said it over and over again when we talked about it. But I'm glad KyoAni is doing better, and I totally back them on this 100%, as I'm sure all of you do. Okami-san wa Tabararatai, TV Anime's promo video review preview song. This looks super cute. I don't know what is this about. I want Akusa I want Akuza-sensei to eat my first. What the f... Okami had her skirt swiped by the rumored skirt bandit. Her teacher, Akazu, happened to be passing by and came to Okami's rescue. Akazu took Okami home, but Okami had a real reason for bringing Akazu there as she locks the door and turns off the lights. Stuck with a girl in a room with the lights out, I can't help myself. Oh, come on, dude. This is trash. What is this trash? I'm not going to watch this. It does look... The girl looks really cute, but come on now. Come on with this. Get out of here with that. God damn it. Kimiwa Kanata anime film cast Saori Hayami and Yui Ogura. This is... Who is this by? Yoshinobu Sena. I don't know what else they've done. But it's a fantasy film set in Tokyo's Ikebukuro district and centers on two childhood friends named Mio and Shin. Mio has feelings for Shin and always thinks about him, but has never been able to tell him how she feels. One day they get into an argument over something trivial, and sometime afterward, Mio decides to make up with him. As she heads to Shin, while being drenched by the rain, she gets into a traffic accident. When Mio regains consciousness, she finds herself in a new and unfamiliar world. Oh, so she gets isekai'd. Oh. I wonder if it's going to be Truck-kun, man. It's going to be Truck-kun. Calling it right now, it's Truck-kun. Popel of Chimney Town anime film unveils trailer. The official website for Studio 4C's December 2020 anime film Popel of Chimney Town picture book unveiled with a teaser trailer. This looks really cool. This was the CGI director for the Berserk films and Harmony. But the story is set in a town surrounded by a wall that stands 4,000 meters tall because the town is full of chimneys. The air is always full of smoke. No one in the town knows what the sky looks like. On the night of the town's Halloween festival, a delivery man accidentally drops the heart he is supposed to deliver. He cannot find the heart in the smoke and gives up. The heart continues to beat where it fell in the town of chimneys. This looks really cool. I should watch the trailer. It's called Popel of Chimney Town, and it's Poupelle of Chimney Town. Looks really good. I'm really excited for that. Crunchyroll to stream Jujutsu Kaisen in October. Hell yes! I'm so fucking excited for Jujutsu Kaisen anime. It's going to be so sick. So sick. Netflix is streaming Zoids, I guess, in August 24th. I don't like the new Zoids. Iwa Kakeru Sport Climbing Girls anime launches on October 3rd, man. Dude, more sport girls. That's what I'm talking about. Sport girls! This actually looks really cool, though. Like, aside from it being, like, you know, probably maybe a bit fan service-y, sport girls, whatever, it actually does look super cool, like, the rock climbing. I've always admired people who can rock climb. Just takes, like, immense amount of muscle. Really cool. It's based on a manga, and it centers around girls who compete in sport climbing, particularly climbing artificial constructed walls, while making full use of one's mind and body. First-year high school student Konami Kasahara discovered this sport at Hanamiya Girls High School after training her mind with puzzle games during junior high. Her life changed the moment she stumbled across her new school's climbing wall, which led her into the school's climbing team. Yeah, I know that. And I think the character design looks really cute. You got one girl with, like, really long blonde hair. You got a girl who has, like, dark kind of maroon hair with cool bangs. And I think the main girl has, like, the purple hair. She looks really cute. And there's another girl with red hair. They look all really cute. And the costume, their little sports spandex, like the shorts and the sports top, looks really cool, too. It's, like, purple with little flowers on the side of the shorts. And that might just be me admiring it because I work at a place where I design hockey jerseys and other sportswear for a living. So, I don't know. That might just be me. But, like, I like the design of that. The Promised Neverland anime season 2 unveils a new visual, and it's just a picture of Emma with a scarf in her backpack with a serious look on her face going, I'm going to fucking run away from you and kick you in the nuts. Yeah, I'm excited for Promised Neverland, man. Fucking crazy. So, remember when we did a review on Demon City Shinjuku and Wicked City? Sentai Filmworks has acquired digital rights to Wicked City, and High Dive is going to stream Demon City Shinjuku. So if you wanted a place to watch those, there you go. I don't know if I talked about this last time on the last newscast or the newscast before, because I totally forgot about it until just now when I saw it. So if this is a repeat, I'm sorry. But King of Fighters is getting a Chinese animated film. I don't know what the studio is, but they're saying that it was supposed to be a movie that adapts the Orochi arc, which, so if you're not familiar with the King of Fighters series, the first game was called King of Fighters 94, and then it went all the way up to, like, I think 2000, let's see, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. Yeah, okay, yeah. So it went up to, it went, so it, that was, that's 10 games. And then they just started calling them King of Fighters 11, 12, 13, 14. And so the first, I think 94 to 97? 94 to 97, I believe, is the Orochi arc, where they deal with the Orochi, or the Rite of the Blood, and people who want to use the power of Orochi for, like, evil and shit. And then there's the Nests arc, where it's this futuristic organization called Nests, headed by a guy named Goinitz, where he makes clones of, like, Kyo and other really prominent fighters, and Chrysalid and things like that. He makes super soldiers and crazy weapons to take over the world. And I think that was, like, I think the Nest arc was technically 98, 99, and 2001. Or maybe 98 was the last of the Orochi, and then it was 99 to 2001 for the Nest arc. Anyway, after that, it was the other arcs, like the Ash Crimson arc and things like that. I think King of Fighters 13 was the end of the Ash Crimson arc. But anyway, the story is in arcs because, you know, unlike Street Fighter, the game actually progresses. Throwing shade. Anyway, this is supposed to cover, apparently they're hinting that it might cover the end of the Orochi arc plus the beginning of the rest of the Nests arc, because Goinitz is a character in the trailer that you see KO fighting, and Goinitz is the head of the Nest organization. So it looks really cool. I mean, it looks actually really good. You know, Chinese 3D animation is pretty good, I think. So Crunchyroll adds Junji Ito's Cat Diary, Yon and Mu manga. I have to read this. I've never read this before. But it's Cat-Based Johnson. Semi-autobiographical. 10 out of 10. I don't have to read it. Anyway, here's the biggest piece of the anime news, okay? AT&T asks at least $1 billion for Crunchyroll from multiple buyers. And then AT&T offers Crunchyroll to Sony for $1.5 billion. Technology website The Information reported on Wednesday that AT&T has offered to sell Crunchyroll to Sony for $1.5 billion, citing three people familiar with the situation. Sony reportedly barked at the price, which effectively values the streaming service at $500 per subscriber. According to another person familiar with that matter, AT&T previously valued Crunchyroll at the equivalent of $400 per subscriber. The Information noted that the discussions may show AT&T's willingness to sell valuable assets to bring down its $151 billion debt load. The website had reported in May that WarnerMedia, a subsidiary of AT&T, was considering selling Crunchyroll. However, WarnerMedia reportedly tabled the decision to allow its new CEO, Jason Kilar, who assumed the role in May, to evaluate the business and strategy. So you're probably just wondering, like, what does this mean? Like, when you do these pieces on, like, companies shifting companies, what does it mean? You know, that's the thing. I don't know. It could mean that nothing changes at all. It could mean that we have a little bit of change. It could mean that we have big amounts of change, huge change. Or it could mean that we just have little changes here and there. Maybe a subscriber changes. Maybe we pay less for a subscription. Maybe we pay more. You know, maybe the whole website gets an overhaul. You know, it's really weird. With all these companies doing this and that, the one thing that I'm always afraid of, and I think some people will agree with me, is like a monopoly, right? Monopolies are bad. One company holding the power to everything, it's like it's nice because then I can watch everything on one thing and have one subscription. At the same time, you don't want one company having the power over every single asset like that. You just don't. Because that means when they do one thing wrong enough to bother you, then it fucks it up for all the stuff you want to watch. You know what I mean? It's not just that. That's a personal reason. It means many things for the economy. You know, competition is good for economy. It means that it keeps other companies on their toes. Like, it's kind of like there was a joke in Family Guy when Quagmire was talking about when he was in high school and this girl used to bully him because he liked RC Cola. And she, like, beat him up and she was like, "My dad works for Pepsi, you jackass." And he was like, "It doesn't have to be a two-party system. RC is what keeps the big guys on their toes." Which is true. Like, if you look at, I think, and I have to do some of the research myself, but if you look at economic history, you know, and competition and things like that, you want competitiveness to keep companies on their toes so they can offer better services to consumers, so they can offer more convenience to consumers and things like that. We are the people who pay for it. So it's like, we want to be able to make choices. We want to be able to make a choice. Like, no, I don't want to go to Denny's. I want to go to Perkins. No, I don't want to go to Walmart. I want to go to, you know, Whole Foods or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it takes your choice away. If one company has everything, you have to go there to watch everything. And that takes choice away. That takes our choices away. And that's just not, that sounds really stupid. Like, I sound like I'm being like, I'm an American, I have rights. No, that's not what I mean. This is for everybody. You know what I mean? In the world. If one company owns everything, everybody in the world has to subscribe to this one thing. You know what I mean? That's why there's different rights in different countries. That's why it's like, oh no, I have the rights in the US, you have the rights in Japan. That's why we have things like that. So that doesn't happen. But still, that could happen here in our country or in Canada or whatever. And we don't want that to happen anywhere, because then that sets precedence for it to happen in other countries. We don't want that. We want choices. I want to be able to subscribe to Crunchyroll and not High Dive, or High Dive and not Funimation. I want to be able to subscribe to Hulu and not Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, or both if I want to, or neither if I want to. Like, I want to have the choice. We have to be able to have the choice. And that's what's important. So, I don't know. I don't know why I went onto that whole tangent, because obviously that's not what's happening here. But, you know, you never know when these kind of discussions come up. People right away think of that. They're like, oh great, what does that mean? Like, does that mean they're gonna buy this, and they're gonna buy everything up? Anyway, let me know what you think, and correct me if I said anything stupid, obviously, as well. But that being said, I'm glad you guys listen every week. I love you guys very much. Hit me up if you think I missed anything on the news, or you want to hear something on the news that you don't hear. Let me know, and I will get it going for you, okay? I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I've been Sam, and this has been the Anime Simon Newscast.